baptized into his death. And let me say this to everyone here tonight who is baptized. And I include the adults and I include the children who have been baptized into Christ, of whom there are a sprinkling here tonight. Pun only partially intended. If you have been baptized into Christ by whatever means, at whatever age, you are identifying yourself with him in his life and in his death and in his whole story. Now, with that in mind, let me come to my final point, which is to think particularly about baptism into Christ's death, which probably, if we just hear it said that way, sounds confusing, mystifying, puzzling. What does it mean? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Well, we need to come back again to that question in verse 1 and the answer in verse 2. Because that's really the occasion for Paul to deal with this matter. What then shall we say? Let me remind you yet again. In chapter 5, that wonderful chapter, Paul has been saying, you know, folks, God's grace is just unbelievably great. God's willingness to forgive sin, God's heart of grace towards sinful people is just overflowing with love. I can't say it enough, says Paul. And where sin increased, grace increased all the more. As if to say, will any amount of sin throw God off his plan to show grace? Is there sin that is too great for God to forgive? And the answer is no, there is not. Oh, God is so full of grace. God loves to forgive sins. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. However you feel, whatever you've done, don't forget that. There is grace, plenteous grace, to cover every single sin. And so, Paul is imagining this dialogue and this man saying, well, I know, it's wonderful, isn't it? So, I mean, on that basis, you're really saying then, I mean, well, isn't it wonderful we can sin as much as we like? It's as though, you know, I can go into all the debt I want. I can go deep into my overdraft and beyond it. And I can go beyond the bankruptcy limit. And I can go deep into something that exceeds the national debt of all the Western European countries that have ever existed. And there's always going to be a payment to redeem me and to release me and to help me out in that. I can sin as much as I want, can't I? No, says Paul. No, by no means. This simply cannot be. Why? It is, the question is answered with another question in verse 2. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And then he explains what that death to sin means. When we were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into his death. When we were baptized into Christ Jesus, our life story became embedded within his life story. And his life story became embedded within our life story. And specifically this, his death on the cross, that great central end, that great action that Jesus was always setting his face towards as the great thing he came to do, that death on the cross to condemn sin became the important and central part of your life story and mine when we are baptized into Christ. Our two stories merge. The two narratives become one. His death, my death. My death to sin in his death, in Christ's death. This is the heart of the doctrine of the New Testament, certainly of the Apostle Paul. Or let me change the metaphor to make it an even more biblical metaphor. When we become Christians, we are branches that are united to that one vine, that one tree, which is Jesus Christ. And this is the picture that Paul uses here in verse 5. He says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his." What's he actually saying? Well, that word "united with" really means planted together with. Planted together with. What picture does that conjure up in your mind? Planted together with. You might say, well, spring will come in a few weeks' time, perhaps, and I'm going to plant some nice flowers to grow up in the summer. It's too late to plant the spring bulbs. They went in the autumn, but I'll plant maybe some sunflower seeds in the spring, and they'll grow up and become sunflowers later in the year. Perhaps I'll plant them side by side, a seed there and a seed there, and they'll grow up together. They'll be planted together. One flower here, one flower there. Is that the picture here? No, it's not. It's one plant. It's one growth. It's one vine. It is that we are one vine with Christ. We are sharing in the nourishing root of the same tree. Union with Jesus Christ. Identified with Jesus Christ. And all this signed and signified and sealed through baptism into his name. But briefly now, as I come towards a conclusion, what does being baptized into his death mean about your life and mine? What does it have to say about our relationship to sin and to righteousness? The short answer is a very great deal. Just look with me at verse 6 for a moment, where Paul says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him," with Christ, "in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." Now, this is something to bring out and develop more fully another time. But in conclusion, how should the Christian view his or her sin? Well, the teaching of the Bible here is this. We should understand that our sin, our personal sin, the sinful nature, the control of sin, the power of sin, the slavery to sin, the desire to sin, these things belong to our old self. And that old self has been crucified with Christ. Your union with Christ and mine means that we can say about our sin these things. When Jesus Christ died, he put my sin to death. My old body of sin has been crucified. And therefore sin is no longer my master. And I am no longer sin's slave. And therefore I have no right to say, and this is something we need to be very clear about, no Christian has the right to say, "I must sin. I can't help sinning. I'm under an obligation to sin. I have to sin." No. When I came to Christ, and when my union in Christ became a reality and was sealed by baptism into his name, my relationship to sin changed forever. Jesus Christ on the cross bled and died to destroy the power and the authority and the slavery of sin, so that I, being in him, am not under that power or authority or slavery any longer. Now, as I've said these things tonight, there's no doubt that a whole host of questions may occur to us. There is a great deal of application and working things out and the asking of questions that must come from this. But here is the conclusion for this evening. Whoever follows Christ and is baptized into Christ has been baptized into his death, which means that in the eyes of the God of heaven, the God who was once our judge, the God who is indeed the judge of all people, in his holy eyes, it means this amazing fact that the old sinful self, for me, a child of grace, for you, beloved brothers and sisters, and fellow children of grace, your and my old sinful self, the sin in us that would otherwise condemn us, stands condemned by God. It's as dead as the dead body of Christ on the cross. It's as buried as the buried body of Christ in the grave. That's the teaching. That's the gospel. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Isn't that the most wonderful, wonderful reality of our Christian gospel message? That we are set free from sin. And as we'll go on to see sometime next week or the week after, not only is that true, but that body of Christ that was killed, and crucified, and then buried, came out from the tomb to live forever. And therefore, the story goes on, brothers and sisters. The story goes on. It goes on. It goes up. Because we are not simply baptized into the death of Christ and into the burial of Christ. We're baptized into the life of Christ. We walk in newness of life. Because he lives, we live. Because he lives, we can say, I'm going to heaven. Because he lives, I can say my sins are forgiven, buried, gone, can't condemn me. And because he lives, I want to live for him. Because he lives, I want to follow him. Because he lives, I want to deny myself. I want to take up my cross. I want to follow him. I want to go with him wherever he takes me. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the only good, true, saving, powerful message that will ever do any good to this poor, sick, dying world that we are living in, where we are witnessing the dead, poisonous, sour fruits of everything other than the gospel. The gospel alone is life. Christ is our life. Let's pray together. Our great God and Father, please take your word and take this truth and, as it were, take the Lord Jesus himself and bring him to every heart. And may we know that uniting of our minds and our hearts and our lives with him. May we know that we are part of that vine, that we are sharing in that rich nourishment of that root as we grow up in him and with him. We have been brought to see that Christ alone is our hope and our life. We pray that knowing this, we would be enabled and equipped, O Lord, to love you more, worship you more, live for you more, and O Lord God, work through our lives that we would tell others of what Jesus Christ has done. O Lord, confirm this message in all our hearts. We ask in his name. Amen.